Ingrid, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Now, first things first, what exactly are the links between climate and health?
Well, I think that the last 12 months have shown us all too clearly what those links are in a way that I think few people could have imagined this time last year or a few weeks before this time last year. So the fires that we had over 2019-20 season affected 80% of Australians, 11 million people affected by the smoke. There were 33 immediate deaths from the fires, but there were another more than 400 connected to the smoke as well. Almost $2 billion it cost us in additional healthcare costs. The Bushfire Royal Commission, which has done an investigation into those fires, repeatedly cited climate change as a factor in the increasing frequency and intensity of disasters. So those fires that we had, they're not a once in a 100-year event. Unfortunately, unless we can do something about climate change, those kinds of fires are just going to keep happening. They're already unpredictable, they're already unprecedented, and it's just going to keep on happening. And then we got hit with COVID, and COVID has links with climate change as well. Three out of every four emerging and re-emerging infectious diseases originate in animals, especially wildlife. And how do they get to us? They get to us because we keep land clearing, we keep reducing their habitat. We keep having wildlife trade and wet markets. These are things which are going to continue to happen to us, and they're showing us just how much climate change affects our health.
Yeah, right. And so how exactly did the collaboration between, you know, Public Health Association of Australia and the 28 other health groups come about?
Well, it's been going for a while now. The Climate and Health Alliance has been going for 10 years. So it's been 10 years since the World Health Organization officially recognized climate change as one of the biggest health risks that we have. And the Climate and Health Alliance has spent that last 10 years bringing together health groups and educating people about the health impacts of climate change. And the Public Health Association is one of the key members of the Climate and Health Alliance. So it's bringing together healthcare workers across the country to look at the health impacts, look at what is going to need to happen to the health system so that it can cope, and also to look at what the contribution of the health system is. 7% of our emissions actually come directly from our health system. And so part of the work is also in looking at ourselves and how can we do the work of the healthcare system in a way which is a bit more sustainable and environmentally friendly as well.
Yeah, right. Now, what action would you like to see the government take?
So first and foremost, we have to reduce emissions. We are nowhere near on track to meet our Paris targets. We have to transfer to renewables and have no new fossil fuels. The United Nations Environment Programme, in a report this year, said that investing in gas is inconsistent with reducing emissions. And the Australian Energy Market Operator this year said, we don't need any new gas to transition to renewables. And yet, the government's response to climbing out of COVID has been to invest in gas. It's just not what we need. So we have to do the mitigation properly, meet our Paris targets, move beyond the Paris targets. That's the first and foremost. Secondly, we have to recognise the health impacts. We have to look at what's happened to us over the last 12 months and that this is not going to be a one-off. And we have to start gearing up the whole system properly so that it can cope. We have to invest in our health system to protect it for when these things happen again. And we have to look across all portfolios to recognise that the health impacts of climate change go cross-portfolio. We have to look at the communities which are going to have to transition away from reliance on fossil fuels for employment, for example, and really have good transition programs for those communities. And we have to better recognise the contribution that Indigenous knowledge can make to all of this. Indigenous communities have been looking after this country for 60,000 years. There's a lot of knowledge there that we should be better utilising.
Absolutely, 100%. Ingrid, thank you so, so much for joining us on the show today to talk about this.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.